This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming up, they said it at 7:20. Quick back and forth on everything they said over the weekend in sports, or as much as we can squeeze in anyway. And that includes a full meltdown from Mel Kiper when Shador went undrafted through four rounds of the NFL draft this weekend. But we have leads left, including one from Wiggy. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'll kind of dive into this a little bit, Greg, the draft. I had a couple things percolating, but I'll kind of go with this. I give the grades because we're always going to do that the Monday after the draft weekend. And I'd say I'd probably give the Patriots a C+. And I dropped them because of, in my opinion, their first overall pick. Not that Will Campbell's not going to be good. I don't know if he is or if he isn't. Just not what I would have done, and I felt like that they could have went in a different direction. But when you start to – I do like the Travion Henderson pick. I think he's going to be really good. He's talented. He's fast. He can catch the ball. He can run between the tackles, outside the tackles. I don't know much about the Kyle Williams kid. But I'm now in the position where, okay – Mike Vrabel's got complete control of it, and I like that. That's what I like about where the Patriots are. Now my expectations are for Will Campbell, week one, holding that left tackle position down, starter, and obviously we're going to judge him week in and week out to see if they did make the right decision. But just kind of looking at the draft and everything, that's what I would give him with a grade. I don't know how people give him A+ like Shime when they hated the first round pick, which is the most valuable pick.
But he told you that his opinion on that developed and changed over the weekend.
Exactly, because I saw the vision.
They took Travion Henderson?
Yeah, because they addressed the positions of need where with like best player availables at the time in skill position guys. Like Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams were exceptional adds. And then on top of that, also getting arguably the best left tackle in the draft, I think is a win. Like, that's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kyle Williams, and he's a third-round pick. They drafted Jalen Polk last year, and we were all happy, and we seen how that turned out. I always, when I start to look at the draft, I say, okay, I'll give you the Travion Henderson. That's where I kind of give you a better grade. Kyle Williams, like, let's be honest, you really don't know much about him. He played at Washington State. How many times did you watch Washington State play this year?
No, but I watched him a little bit pre-draft.
I didn't watch
him
12.
A lot. I went back and watched him more after.
Jalen Polk was in the Big 12, Curtis.
Yeah, but the difference is, Wiggy, the difference
What's
between
the difference?
Those, the big difference between these two guys is Jalen Polk was like that possession receiver that ran pretty good routes and always caught everything that was thrown his way, but it was relatively contested. Whereas with Kyle Williams, he's open all the time. Like, that's the difference, is it's not these like possession receiver guys. He flies around the field, and it just feels like when the ball gets thrown his way, he is wide open.
But if you look at, and this is like, you know, we only can go basically, they were very similar in college statistically. So, I we're not going to sit there and argue about a third round pick.
But in the Twitch chat, and good morning and hello to those who watch this show every day on Twitch, Mr. T Electric says, Campbell makes everybody around him better. Come on and recognize.
But I still think You're putting everything into the fact that your best offensive player is going to be a guy coming off a knee injury who's 32 years old. Like, that's So I know you got Will Campbell, who, if he's good, should help your offensive line. But your best offensive player for Drake May, when he's throwing the football, is a guy who's 32 coming off a knee injury. Like, that's where I feel like if you flip it and get, let's say you go wide receiver at number four, or running back or tight end, and then you go offensive lineman, offensive tackle at either two or your second round or even the third pick that you had in the third round, then I'm sitting there going, okay, that looks good, because now Drake May has targets that we expect to be really good.
What about this argument from a texter in Maine that Williams was number one or number two in creating separation, and that has been missing from this offense?
Didn't Shyam have a thing during the season that Jalen Polk was number one when it came to separation?
Yeah, his ass score, average separation score,
right.
was.
Right, so
was
I,
yeah, but that was in the first 3 weeks of the season.
My point is, is that, yes, the kid Williams was good in college. But if you
do they formulate that score by using lipstick?
No, that was a different test.
That's right? A different
feline.
That's the feline ass score.
Yeah. Okay. Correct.
That for me would have been the only difference. If you would have went receiver, tight end, or running back first, and then your second pick was an old lineman, and then maybe that third pick was a running back or another receiver, I would have been like, great, because the expectations of the fourth overall pick, whether it's Ashton Jeanthe, whether it was Tetteroa McMillan, whether it was Tyler Warren, my expectations for that guy is he's really going to make Drake May's job easy.
Okay. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it, brother.
Speaking of the draft, as we have been for a large part of the morning so far, we have been talking about Shedeur Sanders, who was taken in the fifth round. And if you're wondering why, maybe you should start with his comments at the Combine, which I want to play for you, where he suggested that if you're not and I'm paraphrasing here, if you're not willing to change the franchise or the culture, then don't go and get me. And here is Shedeur.
If you ain't trying to change the franchise or the culture, don't get me. So you should know history repeats itself over and over and over, and I've done it over and over and over, so it should be no question why an NFL franchise should pick me. You think I'm worried about what critics say or what people got to say? You know who my dad is? They hated on him too, so it's like it's almost normal. Without people hating, it's not normal for us. So we like the adversity. We like everything that comes with the name. That's why we are who we are.
I mean, it's bad. Like that yeah. is.
Wait, hold on. How is this bad? This makes him look good. What?
No, that's. The problem with him is the clownish behavior.
Can you listen to somebody who played in the league, please?
Hold on. When other people step up to the microphone and go, yeah, if you want to change your culture, take me. Like, that's good.
There's a difference.
What we want. It's confidence.
No. This is such a double standard. No, there's a difference between if you want to change your culture, take me, versus if you ain't trying to change your culture, then don't take
right.
me.
I'm going to come in here and I'm going to tell you what to do is basically what I get from that.
No, it's him saying if I'm going to change culture.
Yeah, no. See, you're shy.
Wait, it's the same thing.
It's very different.
It isn't. And this is the thing that I believe killed Shedeur. I think he's an intelligent kid. I think his dad raised him great because he doesn't have any off the field issues. I think it's what I would say. I wouldn't even call him an a-hole because I don't know him. I would say it's the clownish behavior that affected him. And that's the, I'm going to have this massive party with Louis bags and rappers. And
Cash,
because people
I'm
going to
show you, even though I was chosen in the fifth round, I'm still going to have a party and show you how much cash I
right.
have. Get out of here.
Even though I might look at it and go like, all right, I get it. He's a 23-year-old kid who just likes having fun and doing. But people are going to look at you. They're going to look at you sideways. I tell my kids this all the time. The way you carry yourself, based on how you look, first off, you being a young black man, they're going to look at you sideways. So are you out there? If you put a nice big chain on, what's their first thing in their mind? Oh, he like rappers, and we already know what people think when they relate those two things.
If Abdul
so it's
Carter
the clownish
said this,
behavior.
If Abdul Carter said no, this at the Sean, combine, people would be like, he's going to kill dudes in the NFL. I want this guy on my football team.
Did you see
and then he shows up to the draft, and he's wearing sunglasses and a giant chain because he's awesome. He looks dope.
Did you see what Abdul
But we're not talking about what he's wearing or anything like that.
Wiggy just was.
No,
Wiggy,
I literally just was.
But that's part of it. But that's important. And I think you bringing up your dad over and over again is not a good look for you.
No, but in the society that we live in today, that's part of it on how you present yourself. People are going to judge you based on the way you present yourself. So I get it, like the young kids wearing chains. I got no issues with it.
No issues.
But Courtney, the difference is the people that own these teams, they ain't 35-year-old men or women that go, oh, I understand why he's dressing like that.
And the other thing, Wiggs, is that all of the rage that was everywhere at Shadur, and some of it rightfully so, was non-existent when it was Eli Manning demanding he not go to the Chargers. There is a component that acts differently when a white guy from a family of football heritage tries to kick and scream and says, no, I don't want to play in San Diego. Right. Everybody says, okay, here you go. And with Shadur, it's viewed very differently.
Right, because
it's very similar. Both had Archie Manning, Deion Sanders. It's very similar.
And the difference is, Curtis, you're right. But the difference is because Eli Manning just got his little old suit on, nothing crazy, where Shador's driving the Rolls Royce.
Oh,
we brought this
God.
Up. He's got the chains. Greg, stop it.
Greg,
the people that are running a lot of these football organizations are guys like you. Older white men in their 50s and their 60s who don't understand that this is just the culture and way kids act nowadays. And they instantly see when a kid's driving a Rolls Royce at 22 years old, you instantly go, that's clown behavior.
No, I go, spoiled brat.
Like, yeah, that's clown behavior.
When a guy's dad starts him a quarterback and, is running around telling teams that we're going to be a package deal, you don't get him without me, all of these things, then I look
but
at you and
fine.
Go, you're going to come in and you're going to do some damage to my franchise and the locker room.
Right, but that I get.
It has nothing to do with race.
You just said
old white guys.
Yeah, but
it
that's
has nothing
the,
to do with
you,
that.
What is it you said? He's throwing, he's got the Louis bag.
Yes.
He's got the money. That,
I would say it if it was a white kid who was doing it.
No, I would say that's the culture that these kids live in. When we talked about the chains, I told you every kid got a chain on. Every kid's driving a Lamborghini in college that's good. But you view that from a different perspective. I understand that culture of it. But when you have the other quarterback, and Curtis made a great point, like Eli or Jackson Dart, who doesn't have the flashy chain on, who's not throwing the party, it's viewed differently.
That was such a beautiful golden with Jackson Dart. That dog was adorable.
Did you see all the animals he had on
the
wall?
Yeah, it was wild.
Man, I never seen a trophy room like that.
I believe that in the end, those guys
Jackson
that you're referring to that run NFL franchises want one thing and one thing only, and that is to win. And if they look at a player and believe that he can help them win, that they're going to take him, regardless of the what he does or says or whatever. They just didn't think that he was a guy who was going to help the culture of their football team.
I get,
Greg, on that. No, NFL owners created a salary cap to create the perceived perception that they were spending to a limit. NFL owners don't want to do everything to win. They want to profit. That's their number one goal. It's winning is on that list because it helps them profit, but that is not their number one goal.
When Johnny Manziel did it, it was fine. Like, he's having fun. He's out there. He's got money. Like, it's just a different look for when it just, that's the culture. That's the way these kids live nowadays. And I'm sorry, Greg, a lot of, not just even older white men, but even older black men that are controlling the NFL, they look at it and go, I don't want all that because what's that going to bring? What they feel like the way you look and the way you present yourself is going to bring other things.
I would just push back, Wiggy, in that like it seems as though Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, is the reason they drafted Shedeur Sanders. Because as soon as they drafted him, Schefter tweeted out about how Deion and Shedeur have a really good relationship with Jimmy Haslam. And if you watch the video of the front office selecting Shedeur Sanders, nobody seemed happy.
No, and Shyam, I get it. There are some guys that are willing to do that. But if Jimmy Haslam really liked them like that,
yeah, he would have picked them early.
He would have picked them earlier. So it's just the way. And I say this about Shedeur. Sometimes you can't let that clownish behavior seep in or affect you. Like, I agree. If you say, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to change this franchise, I'm the guy you need to draft, is different than if you're not willing to change, don't draft me.
All right. Those are our leads. I know Rick and Sean and Bob and Randy and Bones all want to weigh in on this, so we will get to them coming up in just a little bit. And then we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on everything they said over the weekend. Celtics with a win, and they can lock this one down tomorrow night at the Garden, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. The Celtics get it done in Game 4 after dropping Game 3 in Orlando on Friday. Final score last night, 107-98. Both these teams had moments where they had nice runs, but it was the C's down the stretch, led by Jason Tatum, to get it done. Tatum ended with a double-double, 37 points and 14 rebounds. That wrist, that bruise, looks like it's going to be okay. He's going to survive.
Well, there was a moment, though,
yeah,
he did land on it.
Right.
He did wince in pain.
It's going to be, like they said, it's going to always hurt. It's going to be the pain threshold. Is that how you say
threshold?
Threshold.
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 And it looks like he's able to play through that and it not affect him.
He's a fighter. Game 5 is set for tomorrow night back in Boston. Tip is at 8:30. And are you either of you guys going? You guys have the ask?
No, I don't have the ask.
Oh, okay.
You're going to waste it in the first round.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
8:30?
Yeah. Like,
7 o'clock was perfect last night. I was in bed by 9:38.
Yeah. Other NBA playoffs yesterday, the Pacers go up 3-1 on the Bucks, the Timberwolves up 3-1 on the Lakers, and the Knicks up 3-1 on the Pistons. The Red Sox took care of the Guardians yesterday, 13-3. Brian Baio went 6 innings, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. We're going to get to in the news Jaren Duran and that whole situation with the Guardians and their apology. The Sox off today before heading to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. And to the NHL playoffs, the Oilers tied up the series with the Kings. The Capitals up 3-1 with the Canadiens. Carolina leads the Devils 3-1, and the Blues tied up their series with the Jets. As for the Pats, after taking a starting left tackle and Will Campbell in the first round, they got Ohio State running back Travion Henderson and Washington State wide receiver Kyle Williams in the second round before taking another offensive lineman in Georgia center Jared Wilson on Saturday. The Pats turned their attention to the other side of the ball using their first three day three selections on defensive players and added a kicker. And that was brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and the Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Charlie McAvoy and Tuukka Rask. Call 1-800-GET-HAIR for your free hair loss consultation. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Speaking of Tuukka, Monty evened up the series with the Blues, 2-2 in the Winnipeg Jets in the first round. Why can't we get coaches like that? 53 degrees, sunny skies, afternoon high of 75.
Still to come this morning, the news with Courtney in about 15 minutes. And first roadshow week of roadshow season. We are on our way to Springfield on Thursday, and we will be with you at the Taps Sports Bar and Grill at MGM on Thursday night for pregame, and then at Max's Swing Lounge on Friday morning for the first roadshow of this roadshow season, which will extend all the way up until July 3rd. Mm-hmm. That's when we end the roadshows this year. So we got new merch. We have two different versions of the very popular WEEI trucker hat. We have new long sleeve jerseys.
Good color for the long sleeve.
So we cannot wait to see you this week. Hard to believe, but spring is here, and that means roadshows. This is Pound Cake from Marlboro. Great. Now I have to have Van Halen for lunch. What's up, Pound Cake?
Hey, guys. First of all, I love your show, and I'm not from Marlboro. I'm from Attleboro.
Oh, Attleboro. Okay. Thank
you. Yeah.
What's up?
So I just got a theory about Shedeur.
Yeah.
I don't think they took him because coaches and GMs were worried if he did really bad, that the owners would take on Dion. So I was like, let's keep away from him. Let's stay away from him. Obviously, a fifth-round pick, if he does bad, no one's going to get fired. But if a first or second-round pick does bad, put it in his head, Dion could come on as the coach.
Yeah. I mean, that was brought up prior to the draft on this show where you know, maybe if you end up drafting him, then you're a head coach who is sealing your fate in the future because eventually Dion is going to be the head coach of your football team. I just don't think NFL coaches are of a mindset where they're afraid of that. Like, I don't think they're afraid of they're not afraid of losing their job.
No, I mean, there could be a small possibility, but if they don't do well anyways, aren't people going to say, oh, Dion, because Kevin Stefanski hasn't really done much in Cleveland, won't fans go, oh, Dion should see about it. Look at the success he had with Shador. So that's going to come up anyways, especially it wouldn't have came up if he went to Pittsburgh, but it's definitely going to come up in Cleveland because Pittsburgh, I think they're pretty solid with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, here's a text on the Subaru of New England text line bringing up Abdul Carter, who didn't go visit, you know, went on a visit or two, and that was it. And it didn't affect him because he has the talent.
He has the talent in the eyes of the – if Travis Hunter – and I said this to Courtney off air. If Travis Hunter is having the party with Kodak Black, young Miami was there. Like, if he's having the party and he's got the Louis and the 100,000, no one's saying anything.
Was Old Seaport there?
No, Old Seaport wasn't there. Wasn't there. No one's tripping about it because...
Ooh, Curtis, is that my rap name?
It is. Okay. I was going to wait for the road show to announce it, but we'll do it a day early.
I kind of like it.
Yep.
I would like to join Acrobatic on one of the weekly wrap-ups.
Oh, my God.
That is the only time you and Acrobatic will be in the same sentence. Yes.
That would be...
He'll make you sound good, though, with all the, you know, production and everything.
It's all about that.
Yeah, he'll write what you need to say.
Right.
But if Travis Hunt is doing it, it's not a big deal because Travis Hunter's talent on the field in the eyes of everybody in the NFL is can't miss. The problem is, in the eyes of the NFL people, there's a portion of people that don't think Shador Sanders is as talented as everybody thinks he is.
This is Bob from New Hampshire. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love your show. But I have to call and defend Wiggy on this because this is something that's actually very personal and close to my heart. Shador Sanders, one of the reasons people don't look well upon him is because, like Wiggy said, he puts on the gold chain and they think rappers. And I have to say this because my children are mixed and they get treated differently when they do certain things. He could be a great guy, but it's a culture thing. And what some people don't understand, and Greg, I'm going to say you, in particular, is that there are too many people out there who look at a guy like that and automatically think, oh, MS-13, or he's in this, or he's in that, he's a rapper, he's going to be a problem and everything like that, when in fact that's just him expressing himself.
I don't look and think gang member at all. I look and think spoiled douche. Entitled, spoiled douche, whose dad has done everything for him.
Yeah, but what if somebody wearing a chain and driving a Rolls Royce?
We're not talking about that.
That's the reality you brought up, Wiggy.
Right, because that's part of the reality. If we're gonna have a real conversation about it,
Wiggy, if you were taken, what round did you go in?
I was undrafted.
Okay, did you have a big party afterwards when you were undrafted?
Yeah, we had a party.
Did you go to Mama Bula's?
You had a big party when you were undrafted?
Yeah, we had a party at the house.
Did you have Louis?
I couldn't afford Louis. I couldn't afford
right,
Louis.
You couldn't.
But if I could afford Louis, believe me, we would have had a party with Louis bags. Like, Greg, the issue is you don't understand the culture. That's it. You know, and it's a cultural thing. And the problem is, like the caller said, when you think of big chains and, you know, you think of rappers performing or Louis bags and all this, your mindset is, this is a rapper mentality, and the music that they listen to is going to create problems off the field. Like, it's just a cultural thing.
And the other thing I don't understand, I mean, I get it, but, like, there was a large amount of celebration and glee as Shador plummeted through the draft, which to me is odd. Like, there were a lot of grown men celebrating that Shedeur Sanders was not being drafted in the first round, which, if you want to say he wasn't drafted for all those reasons, that's fine, but then explain that element to me.
Where do you stand on the prank call? Because I saw a lot on social media about how cruel it was.
I hated it.
Yes.
Hated it. I think that that is so, like you said, cruel to do to somebody where they are expecting it to be like the biggest weekend of their life. And for it to happen twice and for it to, I would not want to be Jax Ulbrich right now, because what a terrible look for your dad. What a terrible look for the Falcons.
Well, his, like, dad's an ass clown anyway.
I know, but still, like, you put yourself and your family in such a terrible situation. And I think that this is going to create a massive problem for the NFL, because you can't really, you can't discipline this college kid.
Nah, you can't. It's not
and, but, and if you're a Joe Schmo who happens to get an NFL draft pick's number somewhere along the line, what's going to stop you from doing this down the road?
I think they've done it before.
They have, but it hasn't been this big of a deal. And I think the fact that there's so much attention on it right now, it might get worse.
And, like, think what you want of Shedeur Sanders, but these kids, all these guys that have worked their entire lives to get into the NFL, have spent countless hours preparing and playing and training and doing all of those things. This is like the one moment where they can finally say they've made it.
Yeah.
And then you do that. Like, that is despicable.
It's
awful.
Okay.
No, it's awful.
Not despicable.
Yes, it is, Greg. It's terrible.
And you're taking away a moment.
It's a prank call. They've been in existence since the dawn of the Ma Bell and the telephone.
But they didn't ask if his refrigerator was running.
Right. You're taking away a moment that a kid's been waiting for their entire life.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I get it's the stupid prank. The kid's, you know, does something stupid. But I know I would have been like, hey, can you FaceTime me so I can see the coach?
To be fair, I don't know if we want to talk about this if the statute of limitations has run out, Greg, but Spaz called Britt Baldy and said she got the job.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, he didn't do that. You're so
nasty.
I am gullible. I'm gullible,
that was nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been nice.
Oh, girl, this got to be bad, Lord Jesus.
I just think
that he inform her that George Floyd had passed away when he called?
Did the man prank?
Okay.
He did.
Did the man die? He did.
Yes, he did.
I think the things that hurt Shedeur more wasn't the party, but I believe that that stuff plays into the perception of how people think about him. But I think it's more about whatever went on with those interviews.
Wiggy, can you just answer this about your sons?
Yes.
Who you'd love to see, I'm sure, play in the NFL.
Yes.
If they were showing up for an interview with a potential NFL team with a giant entourage, like they're the clown and the circus comes with them, and had their their earbuds in or headphones on during the entire meeting,
Tell them that why would you do something that stupid?
Okay,
that's like,
and you would understand why teams might be concerned about drafting.
So, yeah, that part I get, but I don't get
But it's not misunderstanding a culture.
Yeah, it is. It is is, Greg.
Did Travis Hunter act like that?
But no, but that's Travis. Travis Hunter. That's not his. That's not the way he carries himself. If you look, but Shedeur carries himself differently. Like,
okay, but then it has nothing to do with a certain race and a culture.
Yes, it does. When a dude has a certain way he carries himself in Shedeur, which is part of what the culture is, people will look at that and instantly it's a bad look. You just said, why is he driving around in a Rolls Royce?
Twin Rolls Royces.
Twin Rolls Royce. Well, guess what? Nowadays, Carson Beck drives a Lamborghini.
Okay.
Every kid.
Well, do I have to accept that that's the right thing?
No, but it doesn't. Like, it doesn't mean that they're clowns or they're going to have buffoonery behavior because they wear diamonds that dance all day and they drive Rolls Royces. That's the perception of people that don't understand the culture like yourself and some of these GMs.
There's also an NFL culture which has existed for a long, long time.
Bingo.
And you know it because you played in it, where players are drafted and they work their you-know-what off on a rookie deal to finally eventually get there and make some money and make it big.
But that's
these guys now have already made their money.
Yeah.
So therefore, there are some probably, I'm guessing, in the league who go, well, this guy is not going to be that serious about football because he wants to rap and he wants to do everything else. And so therefore, he's already made his money. He's not going to worry about the team.
Yeah, but guys did that when I played.
That's an NIL problem. That's not a Shador problem.
No, but guys did that when I played.
It was much, that's but much guy, different. But
guys came in and they didn't care about football. They didn't love football. That happens all the time. Like, it's got nothing to do with the money. The money aspect of it is just, you know, for them to, you know, live a different lifestyle than that we did as college athletes. But there were plenty of guys that I played with in the NFL that came in and didn't take football serious. Just because you drive around in a Rolls Royce doesn't mean you don't work hard. Like, Shador works hard. If he didn't work hard, he wouldn't even be in a position to be an NFL player.
Nobody's saying he doesn't work hard. It's the fact that I disagree with you that he knows the difference between confidence and cockiness. And I think a lot of teams, unfortunately, looked at him and didn't think the headache was worth it because the talent didn't match
up. Right, but I agree. You and
so
I agree.
It.
You and a guy, but that's not the only thing. If you don't think that the way he looks and how he carries himself with the chains and the Rolls Royces and the Louis bags and the money, if you don't think that that plays into it, you're being naive.
For the teams, you think they do?
Of course.
But you just said it yourself that so many people, so many players that are already in the league show up and do that all the time.
Right, but the league looks at it funny. Look at the NBA. Why do you think they make those guys, they change the whole dress code thing? They didn't like guys on the sideline wearing baggy jeans, you know, big T-shirts, jewelry. So they changed the whole dress code. The NFL looks at it. It looked at it when I played, and it looks at it like this today. When they see certain guys on how they carry themselves, what they drive, who they hang around with, they look at them, and they go, he's hanging out with rappers, and he got a lot of jewelry on. That's a red flag for us.
This is Jeff from Old Orchard Beach, Maine, where we will be on June 6th for a road show at the Brunswick, arguably the greatest beach bar in America. Hello, Jeff.
Not only am I in Old Orchard Beach, I am just crossing over Temple, over West Grand into Ocean Park.
Oh, please, if you could.
I was at the Brunswick like 10.
Do a drive-by.
I was at the Brunswick 10 minutes ago.
Make sure that everything is A-okay at the shack. Just do a drive-by for me, please.
It's beautiful. None of the tourists are here yet, so okay, this is a great time of year.
And you don't have to worry about the roof. That thing is an East Coast metal roof. It looks great. It lasts for a lifetime.
True that, Curtis. So true that. Look, Wiggy, I love you, and I'm not going to deny the fact that what you're saying is part of it, but more than anything, look, Shine was saying he's probably more like a mid-second round grade, and I agree with that. His arm isn't that strong. He holds on to the ball too long. So if you add that with, you read about the interviews that he had, they were horrible. One person literally said, that was the worst interview I ever took in my life. He wouldn't take any criticism. He blamed stuff on his teammates. Had you noticed that none of the offensive linemen that on any of his teams, Colorado, none of them have come out to defend him and say, you know, like, that was my guy. I love that guy. I'd die for that guy, like Bill Campbell said, by the way. Like, no, none of them have come out to defend him. So if you put all of those pieces together, it's a crappy interview, and his father is Dion, and maybe he's looming over your shoulder. Yeah, round three picks, those are important. So at worst, maybe you go to the fourth or the fifth, and that's what they did. They took a flyer on him because there's a lot of headache involved with that kid. I think he could be good, but honestly, he reminds me of Jalen Hurts when he holds on to the ball too long. Yeah. Love you guys. See you when you're in Old Orchard.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We got to take a quick break. We will get to They Said It, a back and forth on what they said over the weekend, including a full meltdown from Mel Kiper coming up next. They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they would like to honor those who built this city. So nominate your friend, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, anybody who has built this incredible city. When you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com, great prize package, $1,000 cash, baseball tickets, you get to be on a billboard, all that stuff. Go to WeBuiltThisCity.com and nominate them. Where do we stand on allowing Rob Ninkovich back on the program after he was out late and blew us off in New Orleans last week?
I don't blame him for that. You know, we should have known.
Yeah, it's New Orleans.
He was in New Orleans. It was a Thursday night.
All right, he wants to come on and grade the Patriots draft and talk about Shador.
Oh, I'd like to see what his grade would be.
You would?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I want to see
tune in tomorrow when he joins us.
all right, we'll get Nick of a John before the show ends. But right now, they said it. Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, I do want to get to Mel Kiper, but first I want to play you some audio because Shador and Dion were recording themselves all weekend throughout this draft process. And so here was some audio of Dion and Shador reacting to him sliding in the draft, and Dion immediately believes that there's no way this is about football.
It's funny when he's lost for words because
I know what's going on,
but it's funny because he never comes to the conclusion. No, he never does.
No,
he's gonna be the last one to ever say that.
I like to have hope, and I like, well, I trust God. Dang, it's God in it. This
ain't God.
This is the devil.
This is devil. It wasn't cute after 21. That was the final straw. But you can explain. This is just unexplainable now.
This to the point now where you're like, hey man. All right, y'all gotta stop. It's too loud.
What was Dion saying? It was not about football.
Yeah, so he said this is not about football, and then there at the end he said, "Come on, man, you gotta stop. This is getting too obvious." AKA, he's the reason that Shador is sliding, and that it has nothing to do with football.
It's the kid from Louisville.
I mean, is any of the blame on him? When it comes to the slide, I mean,
I don't blame him, but I think this is a reaction from NFL teams against Dion. Yeah. I think that's part of it.
I don't think it's the blame. But the kid from Louisville did you see the
Tyler Shuck, please? Oh, Mitch has the clip.
Oh, my God.
If you can show this clip of Tyler Shuck, this was a kid that was drafted before Shador Sanders. And if you can explain it to me, great. Anybody who makes this pass, this is worse than anything I've seen from Mac Jones. Like, look at this.
I was talking about the one.
Underhand throws it to the other team.
Holy cow.
That kid was drafted before Shador Sanders. It make sense.
Looks like Bledsoe.
Right, but I was talking about the combine one, the one where he's, like, drifting off to the left and throws the ball, like, the kid's running a deep dig route and throws the ball, like, 15 yards in front of him.
I can do that.
I mean, listen, did Shador hurt himself? Yes, but the fact that he went in the fifth round, I mean, come on.
It was nice that KFC responded to Shador saying, like, God bless after he did get picked up. And they were saying, you know, we got rejected over 1,000 times before landing, you know, our recipe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there you go.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy from Barstool.
Oh, no.
No, that's nice.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking
about. No, the chicken.
Well, there was... one guy at draft weekend who melted down about Shador not getting drafted. We can finally hear Mel Kiper reacting to Shador's slide in the NFL draft.
So Shador Sanders, I got the same thing. I fought it, but I've had to fight it a lot, right? Well, the call's going to say, no, he's not that. So if he's not 6'3", 230, doesn't have the rocket arm, doesn't run 4'6". He can't change that. But to have a quarterback with the kind of ability he shows under duress, accurate, decision maker, tough. This to me is about what I think they perceive as, you talk about cocky or confident, arrogant or charismatic, okay? Leadership. There's not going to be a show. There's not going to be a circus with Shador Sanders. Deion Sanders was one of the hardest working players in the history of this game. He brought with him a great work ethic. He was loved in every locker room. Atlanta Braves clubhouse, by the way. Shador Sanders will be the same thing. He will galvanize. And whatever perception's out there, I don't know what people are thinking is going to happen when Shador Sanders is brought to your football team, except he's going to work. He's going to have all those players going to rally around him. He's going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league, and he will cause a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of anguish for the teams that pass on him. He's going to come in. He'll have a chip. He'll come in motivated more than ever before. But Shador Sanders should have been a 1. He's going to be a 4. We'll see what happens.
I mean, his dad earned the right to be prime time, to act the way he acted.
Yeah.
I think there are probably NFL teams and others who don't think that Shador, just because of his name, has earned that right.
No, and I get it, but there and I
but that's okay.
But I kind of agree with Shime. Like, I understand why he fell. I just don't understand how and why he fell that far. Because you brought up the kid from Louisville, whether it was Dylan Gabriel, whether it was Jalen Milroe. I will say this, all those NFL mock draft people, it basically shows that no one knows what they're talking about because no one had Shador going past.
Well, it's because I think to Greg's point, like, there is a degree of that, and that's what should have knocked him out of the first round.
Right.
And so when if he was to get him drafted in the second or third round on Friday night, it would have made all the sense in the world. You would have been right, absolutely. But the fact that he falls into the fifth round,
right,
past guys like Tyler Shuck and Dylan Gabriel is asinine. It's stupidity.
This is the throw the kid at the combine. That's the kid who got drafted ahead of Shador. This is at the NFL Combine.
Are you? Oh. I think that's Courtney without her glasses.
Yeah,
reading
true.
Like, this is the kid who went in the second round, and so
he's 27, by the way.
And right. And so listen, oh, we all think Shador. Who knows where his talent is, but on the field. But I do believe that there was some type of, you know, shenanigans done where this kid went to the fifth round. Like, all right, the third round, I can agree with you. Second round, I can agree with all that. But you get past the fourth round, mm-hmm, and there's these type of guys going ahead of you?
This is Rob from Swampscott. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. So it's a shame what happened to the Sanders kid. Okay, I know he had high expectations, but at one point in my career, I was a hiring manager, and I know that I wasn't working in the NFL, which is equivalent to Disneyland for high-end athletes. But when you show up for an interview, if you do not show up on point, looking like you're prepared, looking like you give a crap, and looking like you're focused and attentive to the questions, and take some accountability for poor decisions that they're going over with you on tape, then all you're doing is announcing to those people that you're sitting with, hey, I'm going to be the biggest headache in the world for you if you pick me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I worked in high tech, and I can tell you what managers in high tech don't want. They don't want headaches with the people that work for them. They just want to be able to get the work done. So,
but I agree, I agree with you, right, that did affect him. But that shouldn't affect him to the point where you completely slide all the way to the fifth round, because there's been plenty of issues with guys at the combine.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of issues with guys at the combine. Yeah, and it affects them a little bit. They might fall a couple, you know, they might go from the top of the first to the bottom of the first or even into the second round. But the fact that he fell, Greg,
that far.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when they at the end when people like, oh, he'll probably go in the 20s, and we were like, wow, that's a drop for Shador.
Yeah.
But to go in the fifth round behind some of these Scrabeens?
Yeah, I know. All right, we got to take a break. You have more? We'll get to the rest of it.
I do,
out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we'll see if we can get Rob Ninkovich to join us as well coming up on The Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.